You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Gadlu, Ganamiyuna Tampinti, Paniyata Matanya Puki Unanku, Gadlu Tampinti Gana, Mayura Purapurana, Pankarawama Gana, Garna Kunti Yarta. Those words aren't familiar to you. That's the Garna acknowledgement of country in Garna, probably mispronounced and with an American accent. This translates to, we acknowledge the Garna people. They are the landowners from a long time ago. We recognize the Garna people are still alive. The territory of the Garna Plains is exclusively Garna land. In gathering, in the morning, in the church, in the quiet, in the noise, in the heat, in thought, in the spirit, in nervous anticipation, in steady calm, in the beginning, in the end, in the middle of the journey, in gratitude, in hope, in love, in faith, in unison, in gathering. Morning and welcome to this annual in-gathering service when once a year we renew and recommit to our connectedness to each other and with the sacred and to bearing each other up as a community as we embark on the new year ahead. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I welcome you on behalf of generations of Unitarians who've worshipped in similar gatherings since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages all who come to find, fashion, and follow their own individual spiritual path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all people. Please do join us after the service for coffee, tea, and conversation. Let's join together in singing our opening song, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. Please stand as you're able. Now, you might have noticed during that opening hymn, if you're not familiar with it, that during every opening hymn, the young Unitarians take it upon themselves to push around that offering basket to collect non-perishable food items for the Moore Street Mission. This is a ritual. With every step around the room, Sunday after Sunday, it reminds the kids and us that we come together as a church, not just for ourselves. Today, though, I want to give the children permission to be a little more self-focused and to think about and face that thing that is looming on the horizon of their carefree holiday that's ending, the beginning of the new school year. Whether that schooling is going to happen in some ivory-covered mansion named after a saint or a settler, or in a transportable field, or indeed at home, it's starting this week with all its yet unknown challenges and opportunities and joys and fears and changes. And we want them to know that we grown-ups have been there too, and we remember what that feels like. We had the same nervous anticipation, the same excitement, the same not knowing. But we want you young Unitarians to know this. We believe in you. We stand by you. We want to encourage you to do your best, learn heaps, and find joy in it. We promise that we will provide every Sunday the loving ground of this blessed community where you can feel safe and valued, and where you may grow strong, wise, loving, and capable, even on Sundays. So we asked you to bring your book bags today for a special blessing. Now, you may be wondering how a blessing works in our church. Well, we are not performing some kind of magic spell trick. We're not wielding an invisible force on them like Harry Potter or Wi-Fi. No, we all just want to send you on your way forward with as much joy and confidence as we would wish for you. So don't worry if you forgot your book bag, because my kind of blessing even works on bags that aren't even here. And I'm adding my own book bag, too, because like you, I start full-time at my school as chaplain this week, and I'm feeling, well, much like you do, I expect. Excited, curious, maybe a little nervous about the unknown that lies ahead. So I'm going to ask you now, while the music plays, to bring your book bags up, real or imagined, with mine, and stand with your bag at the front of the room, in front of the altar, facing the congregation. Could you do that now, please? Now, adults in the room, who remembers what a new school year felt like? If you do, I want you now to think hard of one word or phrase of encouragement that you can give our children. Remember, brevity is the soul of wit. Not verbosity, brevity is the soul of wit. A word or a phrase of encouragement to give our children. To make this orderly, if you want to share your word of encouragement, raise your hand and I'll call on you, just like school, and then you can stand up and give it. So, who wants to offer a word or phrase of encouragement?
It's much more fun when you include everybody.
Thank you. Somebody else?
Have fun.
Have fun. Somebody else?
New friends.
New friends.
Be kind.
Be kind.
Consider all the different perspectives.
Enjoy the adventure.
Do your best.
Do your best.
Remember, we are with you.
Remember, we are with you. Amen to that.
Everybody.
Good. Right? That's excellent. Now let us find a moment of quiet inside ourselves so we can really hear the words of this blessing. It's by Karen Johnston. And would you please all stand as you're able? Young Unitarians, even when you are away from this church, may you carry the heart of our church with you wherever you go. May you feel curiosity all your days. May your imagination catch fire. May you find courage when it's necessary. May moments of confusion lead to better questions. May you feel compassion toward those around you and they towards you. May you feel heard and seen, that you may hear and see others. May you speak up for those who are not heard and who are not seen. As your spiritual home, we are made stronger when you share with us what you learn. We ask you to bring what you learn about the world back with you to this place. And tell us about it. So, guys, if you agree, say we will. Excellent. I declare these book bags blessed with and blessed by all the love and good wishes of this church. Adults, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. And we have, I know you guys can sit, we have a small gift for you. A perfect symbol of our questioning and questioning Unitarian faith. It's a magnifying glass, so that you may have a really good look at yourselves and the world. Here we go. Take one. I hope we've got enough. It's your very own magnifying glass. There you go. Are we ready? Please stand as you're able and sing along with us. Okay, let's all sing together.
One more step along the world I go. One more step along the world I go. From the old things to the new. Keep me traveling along.
One more step along the world to Sunday Club. And we will see you after. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, everybody. Have a seat. So, as a church community, that was exciting, wasn't it? We collectively wade into the unknown and unknowable waters of a new year. This morning, we carry love and hope and courageous faith and seek to renew our covenant, our commitments to our church, to each other, and to the world. We remind ourselves of this home we share, this home, this church we come back to, whether after a long absence or a short absence, a home we welcome all to make their own, a home of love and hope and faith. We gather ritually this morning, carrying gifts of our summers, symbols of the water that we have been present with and which has been present to us. These symbols might call to mind things like light summer showers, or thunderstorms, or dewy mornings, or misty evenings, or moments at oceansides, poolsides, riversides, lakesides, swimming, gardening, fishing, hiking, strolling, or perhaps in an everyday place whose sacredness is real to us nevertheless. Let us reflect upon what we brought with us to these moments and these places, what spiritual, emotional, or other baggage we might have carried, and what we did with it while we were in these waterborne places and moments. Take a moment's reflection for that. What baggage we carried. Did water's steadfastness inspire you? Or its serenity? Maybe its waxing and waning tides, the music of its flowing motion, or the silence of its sleep. Did you feel, in the presence of water, that interdependent web of life coming alive in those moments? Some of you may have had the gift of a moment's epiphany, some a nourishing stillness. Others of you a growing awareness of how this very water is like the web of life and how the web, that connectedness, is in us and in everything. Let us rest in that awareness in a moment of silence. In your silence now, I ask you to find a word or maybe two that captures the meaning your waterborne time this summer has had for you. We do this not just for time efficiency, but to lift this ritual to true worth, to lift it beyond the trivia of what I did on my summer holidays, to lift it beyond class privilege and hedonism. One word or two. To find in our deepest selves the meaning of this mundane yet life-giving substance, to find, dare I say it, the holy for us in this water. And let our different deep truths be blended together, even as the water in this bowl will be blended, as we merge and re-emerge as one community today. I'll begin. For me, the meaning of my waterborne moments this summer was immersion. If you'd like to come up this side, then this, and share your water. We also have proxy water for those of you that didn't bring any. We'll start on this side, maybe. Silence.
Growth and new life.
Growth and new life.
Rediscovering childish joys.
Rediscovering childish joys.
Spread the joy.
Spread the joy.
Let's make fresh water.
Let's make fresh water.
Without water, death.
Without water, death.
I'd like to remain silent.
Silence.
More precious than gold.
More precious than gold.
Growth.
Growth.
Tranquility.
Tranquility. Life and hope.
Opportunity.
Opportunity.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. The struggle is real.
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation.
Put the fires out.
Put the fires out.
Appreciation.
Appreciation.
New growth.
New growth.
Family.
Family.
Universal. Universal.
Universal.
Tranquility.
Tranquility.
Comfort.
Comfort.
Tides of change.
Tides of change.
Love.
Love. Life.
All life on earth.
All life on earth.
Refreshing.
Refreshing.
Progress.
Progress.
All life.
All life. And that's for Vicky. And?
Farewell, thirst.
Farewell, thirst.
Sustainability of the planet.
Sustainability of the planet.
Ever flowing.
Ever flowing.
Patience.
Patience.
Sustainable life.
Sustainable life.
Sunsets.
Sunsets.
Peace.
Peace.
Wonder.
Wonder.
A bridge over troubled water.
A bridge over troubled water.
Connecting.
Connecting. Let's find a space of stillness inside yourself. Guided by love. Secured by hope, and made courageous by our Unitarian way, we gather together at a moment of beginning, both learning and teaching, welcoming the injured and the healing, ever seeking justice. We bless this church with our love. With pilgrims and seekers, with growing children and cherished seniors, guided by pillars and by leaders, we bless this church with our hope. Praying and resolving, trusting and involving, some of us settled, some of us evolving, we bless this church with our faith. Let us receive our ingathering today as a gift. May it inspire renewed commitment to our great covenant of love, hope, and faith. May our eyes be opened to opportunities for broad ministry within, throughout, and beyond. And may the blessings we come to know through that vision be a blessing to all the world. May our gathering together this morning be a blessing for one and all of you. May it inspire us to a year of hope and love and courageous faith. And may we walk this year in the full awareness as often as possible of the blessed ties that bind us, each to each and to all that is. So be it. Amen.
Water by Philip Larkin. If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing, a furious devout drench. And I should raise in the east a glass of water, where any angled light would congregate endlessly.
Thanks, Richard, and thanks, Schrodinger's cats. A couple of things about this water communion. It's an example of what's called a secular liturgy. Like our flower communion, it's a ritual Unitarians have essentially made up from taking cues from what we know of the natural world, rather than what we don't know of the supernatural world. However, the water communion does reconnect us to religion's most ancient material symbol of divine mystery. From a community standpoint, all of these different things that water meant to you mingled together are going to go out and water our garden eventually. So there's a lovely image of coming together in it. And water perhaps has taken on an even deeper and more urgent practical meaning in the wake of the bushfires we've had over the December-January season that still continue. If you've been to these secular liturgies over the last few years, you'd know that every year I try to offer you something supernatural about this natural substance, this colorless, featureless, tasteless thing we call water, which is really just a big smotch of connected molecules of hydrogen and oxygen. If you bear that in mind a second, that this wet stuff is really a combination of two gases, you begin to get an idea of what a misty, moisty, mystery, moistery water is. Water's a rebel. Water breaks many of what science thinks of as the rules of chemistry. And scientists, if they're honest, have to admit that when they try to grasp this stuff, it does this. Can't grasp what water is any more than I can grasp what actual water is. It escapes and runs through their fingers like, well, water. For instance, at the temperatures and pressures of this planet, that bowl of chemicals should not be liquid. It should evaporate instantly, not eventually, into gas. Yet, here it is, stable, undeniably set heavy and solid, sloshy too, and freezing water that we take for granted, except that no other chemical in the universe expands when it freezes. And if you want to freeze water faster, hot water freezes faster than cold. Totally counterintuitive. No one knows why. In addition to flouting the laws of chemistry, water neither has time for laws of physics, specifically the law of gravity. Water molecules can float upwards because of the hydrogen bonds between the atoms, so the molecules love to stick to each other, and so they get drawn toward each other, and sometimes that drawn means they're drawn up against gravity. The force of this attraction, this sticking together, is so great that they can pull each other up through narrow channels like this. This unique activity, and it's doing it by itself, is what's called capillary action. And it is what draws oxygen and nutrients up through the tiny blood vessels to your brain. It's also what allows plants to, it's not like they have a pump, you know? It's what allows plants to move water up from deep underground to nourish the leaves and branches that climb into the air, this capillary action. So because it breaks this law of gravity, water is uniquely gifted at sharing information and nourishment, moving it around to where information and nourishment wouldn't normally get to. Its rebellion against chemistry and physics as we know them have made water a key player in the evolution of life, because the solid form, ice, because it expands, it can float on the surface of the liquid form. That ice has allowed complex life to survive and evolve even during the great ice ages, when the entire surface of the earth was frozen solid and inhospitable to life. But for this rebellious nature, life on earth would have perished. Water has not just been the stuff of living organisms, and we all know we're made mostly of water. Water is also the ground upon which the creation of life has been made possible. Mysterious, irrational, creative, and life-giving. Divine properties, and those divine properties don't end there. Dig this. All the water in this planet is alien to this planet. The oceans were made hundreds of millions of years after the Earth itself took shape out of the dust and gases of the Big Bang. Water was seeded here from the furthest reaches of the universe as the ice on asteroids and comets. Now, who thinks this doesn't look a lot like this? Each and every molecule of water has been around traveling in space for billions of years, and once it made that journey here, it has never stopped cycling through plants and animals and air and storm clouds and bacteria and dinosaurs and polar ice caps and oceans and rivers and every person who has ever lived, and of course, you. Each water molecule in your body at this moment has been and will continue to be on a never-ending journey through space and time. So the fact that you are hearing these words and seeing these images now in this shared moment is brought to you by water. The ancients knew this instinctively, of course, which is why water is a crucial symbol in just about every world religion. In baptism and other purifying and cleansing rituals, it also in personifying the twin forces of creative destruction, of life itself, that larger human power personified in things like ocean gods, river deities, and water sprites. And then, of course, there's the Ganges in Hinduism, the Yoruba, the Igbo, and the Ogulu in African animism, Aquasolis in Celtic earth spirituality, the Kasota Spring in Delphi, in whose captured water the priestess gazed before foretelling the future. And, of course, latterly, the River Jordan in Judeo-Christianity. If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Well, we Unitarians are called to construct a new religion, using both our modern intelligence and ancient wisdom. May the wisdom of the ancients and the intelligence of the modern be blended together in our church and in our world, even as the moisture of our water has been blended here today, to give life and to give it more abundantly to all. Amen. Let's join in singing our closing hymn, "There's a River Flowing in My Soul." Please stand as you're able. We hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.